Greetings, friends, and welcome to today's edition of Fresh Fire Ministries. This is your radio pastor, Reverend Aaron McCullough, saying that I'm glad that you're with us today, and I hope you've made your plans to stay with us for the next 30 minutes as we once again worship the Lord through the old-fashioned hellfire and brimstone preaching of His precious word. The Fresh Fire Radio Ministry broadcast is a listener-supported faith ministry that features the sermons we preached at Roper Heights Baptist Church, a 10-year pastorate there, as a main part. We do also include sermons that sometimes we record at revivals and special meetings we go to, and we air those also. But for the main part, it features the sermons we recorded while we were at Roper Heights Baptist Church. Let me tell you that the Fresh Fire Ministry radio broadcast is a listener-supported faith ministry, which means that we're dependent upon people just like you to meet the needs of our financial needs as God places it on your heart to be a partner with us in this ministry. I tell you from time to time that I'm a partner in this ministry also, and that I take absolutely no salary from this ministry or no financial gain from it. It's just a labor of love for me, and I enjoy doing this, and it costs me money just like it does you, so I don't mind asking you to help support in something that I'm already supporting myself. Well, let me tell you, as I do each week, how you can contact us and become a part of this ministry should you desire to. You can call us at area code 706-884-9122, or you can write us via the regular mail at 184 Stovall Road, LaGrange, Georgia, 30241. Our email address is freshfire@mindspring.com. That's freshfire@mindspring.com. The web address is www.freshfireministries.com. www.freshfireministries.com. You can also visit with us at www.troopbaptist.org. T-R-O-U-P, troopbaptist.org. That's the Troop County Baptist Association website, where I'm the associational missionary for the 41 Southern Baptist Churches in Troop County. But we'd invite you to visit with us there also. And let me also tell you that we now have available, and I want you to check this out and see if it's a blessing to you, we have available on the Fresh Fire Ministry website these sermons in streaming audio, not screaming as my wife says, but streaming, S-T-R-E-A-M-I-N-G, which means that if you're listening via your computer, all you've got to do is go to www.freshfireministries.com, click on the streaming audio icon, and it'll take you to a place where you can select from sermons that we've recorded and placed on the website. And in the privacy of your home or there at your workspace or wherever you're at, you can listen to this old country preacher preaching anytime you want to. And the good part is you can turn me off anytime you want to. Check us out on the streaming audio at www.freshfireministries.com. Click on the streaming audio icon. We'd love to visit with you in cyberspace. Well, very quickly, just a few announcements. Many of you like to know where we're at from week to week. This coming week, Sunday, we'll be at the Rock Mills First Baptist Church over in Rock Mills, Alabama, at 11 o'clock, preaching the homecoming service for one of my preacher boys, Reverend Billy Allen. I'd love to have you over at Rock Mills First. Sunday night, 6 o'clock, I'll be with another one of my preacher boys, Terry Prestridge, down at the Hughley Baptist Church. We'd love to visit with you there. Then August the 24th, if you want to mark your calendars, we're going to start revival with a good friend, Brother Blake, up at the Milltown Baptist Church up in Lafayette, Alabama. We'll be there Sunday morning, Sunday night, and then through Wednesday night. We'll be starting Sunday at 11 o'clock and 6 o'clock. That's Alabama time. It's actually 12 and 7 Georgia time. But you come be with us up at with Brother Blake in Lafayette, Alabama, at the Milltown Baptist Church. And then August the 31st, 11 o'clock, we'll be preaching at the Roper Heights Baptist Church, my old home church. The camp meeting they have, we'll be there for the Sunday morning service at 11 o'clock. So I want you to come and be a part of all these. Well, it's good to be with you today. I hope you'll pray, and if the Lord leads you to be a part of this ministry financially, I hope you'll do that. But now today, let's get into the service as it was recorded live at the Roper Heights Baptist Church. It's entitled, What Are You Going to Do When the Brook Runs Dry? The text scripture is 1 Kings 17, 1 through 7.
What are you going to do when the brook runs dry? Elijah, as we begin to look at this scripture, we find that Elijah had just announced to King Ahab that there would be no rain in the land until he said there would be rain in the land. We know the drought lasted for a space of 6 years and 3 months. It kind of reminds me of the little commercial that used to be on TV years ago when the little lady would come out inspecting Hanes underwear. Y'all remember that? And she says, "It don't say Hanes until I say it says Hanes." You know what Elijah was telling Ahab? "It ain't going to rain, son, until I say it's going to rain." And then he went away. And he went and hid. But King Ahab had just married that wicked woman Jezebel, and they're putting out a contract on Elijah's life. Don't like what he's doing. And Elijah is in a place now where God has put him. What then are the lessons or the truths that we can learn from this story? I want to look at several things out of this, and you just go with me this morning. The first thing I want you to know this morning is that God prepares a special place for his people. Amen. Did you know that this morning? God always has a place prepared for his people. Amen. Verse 2 and 3 says, "And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, Get thee hence, and turn thee eastward, and hide thyself by the brook Cherith that is beyond Jordan." Cherith is that special place of God's provision. You know, I recall that Moses came before God and said, "Lord, I want to see your face." The Lord told him, says, "Moses, it can't nobody look at my face and live." But he said, "I tell you what, there's a cleft in the rock over there. Ain't there always a place for God's people?" And he said, "I'll put you in the cleft of the rock. I'll put my hand over your face to cover my face. And when I come by, then you can see all the glory of my hinder parts." There is a place for God's people. A prepared, you know what? We are a prepared people. Going to a prepared place. God has a place for us. Well, glory. You know, this church is a cherith. It's an oasis in the middle of a desert. It's a place you can come, well, glory. It's a place you can come in and get a drink of cool water from the devil's parching sun. Aren't you glad that this is a place that you can come in and just be you? Where else you know that you can go and be you and be liked for it? Some of you ain't even liked at home for being yourself. Amen. Go home and try to be yourself and your wife gets mad at you. Or your husband. Help me now, somebody. Well, glory. Well, glory. Cherish is that place where God just pours his blessing out on you. Wednesday night, old Tim Looney gave his testimony. Some of you didn't hear this. But he was talking about, he called me on the phone Tuesday. Got fired from his job. Hadn't had it 2 weeks and got fired. He called me and said, "What are we going to do? What am I going to do?" I said, "Well, we're going to pray first." So we just prayed right there on the phone. Let me tell you how good God is. 20 minutes later, he got a phone call from a guy that owns a cabinet shop. He'd already put his application in, and the foreman told him, "We're not hiring." And the owner called him and said, "Look, I know my foreman told you we're not hiring, but I'm going to need somebody." And he said, he got talked to Tim. Tim said they talked for about an hour. And now over the phone, the man made this statement. He said, "I normally don't do this. That I normally don't hire anybody without meeting them." He said, "But something in me is telling me to hire you." And Tim said, "I know what that something is." And not only did the man hire him sight unseen, but gave him a $2 an hour raise in the process. That, my friend, is Cherith. That is the place of God's special blessing. Oh, Brother Frank Jones over there the other day when Birmingham being operated on, they come back out, said he's doing fine, doing wonderful, praise God. That's a place of Cherith. The place that God has where he just pours his blessing out on you. At Cherith, God supplies water when they don't nobody else have any. Amen. There was a drought in that land, but he had water. At Cherith, God provides meat and bread when nobody else has any. At Cherith, God will meet our needs. Isn't it wonderful that we've come into that place with God? That we know that we don't know how, we don't understand how, we just know that we're in God's hand, and whatever happens this day, God has ordained it, and it will be all right. God will meet our need. Ain't that wonderful? Well, amen. Yes, it is. I'm glad that in my time of serving the Lord, that I have been in that place called Cherith many times. I like being in that place called Cherith. I like jumping over into the goodness of God and just coming out sticky all over from the sweetness of God. Amen. Now, most of the times, I can't stand to be sticky. I hate that feeling. Don't y'all hate that feeling? I don't see how folks cannot bathe. Ooh, when you get sticky, oh, it's just awful. But there's one time I like to be sticky. It's when the sweetness of God is flowing. And I like to just get sticky all over in the Holy Ghost. Amen. Oh, he said Holy Ghost. Yeah, it did. That's a strange Baptist term. Amen. But everyone else is having a hard time, but not Elijah. Why? Because he's in Cherith. Now, boy, don't this sound good? We like this kind of preaching, don't we? We like to hear about Cherith, don't we? We like to be in the good times with God, don't we? But guess what? I got another point. You know what my second horn is? Cherith don't last forever. Cherith do not last forever. Matthew 5:45 says, that ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. For he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. Let me tell you something, as good as God is to us, we are not going to be insulated from this world forever. We are not insulated from the wiles of the devil forever. There comes a time when sin is going to have an effect on us. There comes a time when the brook of God that we're drinking from in our life, the happiness that we experience, the brook is going to run dry. And my friend, my question to you this morning is, when it happens, what are you going to do when the brook runs dry? Well, glory. There are times, now listen to me, when we are of greater service to God in the midst of troubles and trials and tribulations than we will be sitting at Cherith having a good time. We live in a world of sin, and we are not immune to the effects of sin. One day the brook's going to dry up in your Cherith. Now what is Cherith? Cherith can be a special friend. He can be a special place. He can be your bank account. He can be your health. He can be your career. He can be this church. Cherith may have many different names, but rest assured, the only thing that is constant in this life, you know what it is other than God? Change. C-H-A-N-G-E, change. And when you get in Cherith, don't get comfortable, because it ain't going to last. It's either going to get better or it'll get worse, but it ain't going to stay the same. Amen. Now note that all of Elijah's security vanished in a day's time. Everything he was depending on was gone. He went out one day and the brook that he'd been depending on for several years, it was dry. He went out one morning expecting the ravens to come. And guess what? The ravens did not show up. They didn't come. But see, glory. Now this thing's getting sweet this morning. You got to see what Elijah didn't do. It's important to understand what he didn't do. He didn't do like a bunch of Baptists would when the book dried up. He didn't do like a bunch of Baptists would when the ravens didn't come. He didn't get mad at God. He didn't get angry. He didn't poke his lips out and have a pouting fit. He didn't have a hissy fit. He just kept on praising God. Woo! And we Baptists, when that happens, we say, God, how could you let my brook go dry? God, why didn't you send them ravens today? Well, I'll get to that in a minute. But I promise you, if you haven't already experienced it, there will come times in your life that your brook's going to dry up. There's going to come times you're depending on the ravens and they ain't going to come. Now listen, Elijah could leave Cherith because he knew something. Now this is where I've been wanting to get. He knew something. What did he know? Number one, he knew that there was something better to come. How many of you know when God closes one door, he opens another one? Hallelujah! God don't put us out to pasture. Woo! Revelation 3:7, and to the angel of the church in Philadelphia write, these things saith he that is holy, he that is true, he that hath the key of David, he that openeth and no man shutteth, and shutteth and no man openeth. When God closes a door, he opens another. Oh, glory. When he shuts a door, there ain't no man gonna come back and open it. Hey, and when he opens a door, there ain't nobody gonna shut it. Woo! Glory! You see, God can do anything. Oh, ain't that good this morning? Wyman Garcia, he didn't even get a hold of kidney stones to make them disappear, can he? Woo! Yeah, he can make cancer disappear too, can he? Glory! God can do these things. But you see, Elijah realized there was something better to come. Let me give you two little truths here this morning. We need to realize that when God moves in our lives, number one, y'all know this, it's what? It's never for less, but always for more. God ain't in the backing up business. God don't say, let me give Aaron a T-bone and tomorrow let me snatch it away from him and give him a hamburger steak just so I can back him up. I'm going to tell you something. If God takes my T-bone away, which is his privilege to do, it's glory to God. It's his privilege to do it and give me a hamburger steak. And I'll tell you what, he's given me the hamburger steak not to punish me, but to teach me how to appreciate steak and to realize that there's a 20-ounce porterhouse on the way. Woo! Glory! And we need to learn that when these things happen in our life, that God is preparing us as the children of God for something much better. Ow, I'm going to run here in a minute. I'm telling you something. I'm glad I'm where I'm at Roper Heights Baptist Church. I'm telling you something. We've been up and we've been down. We've been eyeball to eyeball and toe to toe with the devil. But I keep on fighting because I know that something better is on the way. Hallelujah. Woo! We're about to see a move of God. Well, glory. Y'all feel what I feel. I feel good this morning. I had to preach at a brotherhood this morning. My wife asked me, did I drink caffeinated coffee? Whew. No, I'm just wired by the Holy Ghost. Amen. He knew that what was happening, he was leaving Jared. But it wasn't for less. It was for something better. He also knew if he wouldn't get bitter, what happened? He'd get better. Yeah, amen. You know what's wrong with too many of us Baptists? We get bitter. Are you happy now? I'm using the whole pulpit. My daughter said, Daddy, when you going to use the rest of that pulpit? You know what happens to us Baptists? God dries our creek up. Ravens quit coming and we go. I just ain't going back no more. I ain't going to do that no more. I'm leaving. I'm out of here. Huh? And then we get real bitter. And the longer we tell, the longer we sit and nourish that little seed, put fertilizer on it and water, that root of bitterness begins to grow and to grow. And you know what? You get to the point you don't like your pastor no more. Then you get to the point you don't like your deacons anymore. Don't like your Sunday school teacher. Then you get to the point you don't really like your kids anymore. And then you don't like your spouse anymore. And then one day you wake up and figure out you don't even like you anymore. Amen. I got to tell my joke. I don't know but one. I done told it 1,000 times. I got to tell it again. Old Grandpa was asleep one day. Two little mischievous grandsons came in, got some Limburger cheese. Y'all know how bad that stuff stinks. Grandpa had a mustache. He was asleep and they worked it into his mustache. Grandpa woke up and said, "Something stinks in here." Walked out in the next room and said, "Something stinks in here." Walked into the kitchen, "Something stinks out here." Walked out on the back porch, flung the doors open, said, "My Lord, the whole world stinks." Hey man, that's the way some of us are. We get bitter. But hey, let me tell you something. If you won't get bitter, guess what? You'll get better. Because God's working in you. God knows what he's doing when he cuts the faucet off. God knows what he's doing when he says, "Ravens, hang on a minute. Don't go feed them today." Woo! And I'm going to tell you something. Some of us, God has to cut the water off and cut the food off to get us to move out of our comfort zones. Well, glory. But when God shuts a door, an era, or a special time in our lives, he always opens another. Now, we may not understand what God's doing, but I got a news flash for you. Are you listening to me this morning? You don't have to understand. God can do it without us understanding it. Well, glory. My good friend Joy Burnham sitting back there. And I embarrass her and Mark all the time. But several years ago, when as a deputy sheriff working a traffic stop, when she was shot and left for dead, she didn't understand what was going on. But guess what? George didn't have to, did you? And God still worked in it. A month or so ago, that girl was on nationwide TV. 700 Club. I said, "Yeah, that's one of mine. I taught her how to do that." Yeah. Just chip off the old block, yeah? Amen. Glory. I done been here too long. Folks have babies down here and they look like me. Amen. I have influence on everything. They ain't my babies, so. Ha! Woo! Hallelujah. I got in that real good, didn't I? Moving right along. We don't have to understand. You don't have to understand your preacher this morning. Some of y'all still sitting there, "I can't believe he said that." You ought to be up here. Woo! Glory! We don't have to understand. You understand? We got to realize that we are no longer our own. Do you see where I'm coming from? We've been bought and paid for with a price. Amen. The precious blood of Jesus. Amen. And let me tell you something. Are you listening to this preacher? God reserves the right to do with us as he pleases. He bought us. We belong to him. He put us where he wants to. Well, praise the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. You may be a square peg and he can stick you in a round hole if he wants to. And you may be a round peg and he can put you in a square hole if he wants to. It's his business. It ain't mine and yours. Amen. Well, glory. Amen. Second thing, Elijah understood that it was time to move on. How many of you know that there comes times when it's just time to move on? There comes times when God moves us on. The greatest fear I have always had as a pastor, are you listening? Y'all wonder, what in the world is his greatest fear? My greatest fear is that I will not be listening when God said it's time for you to move on. My greatest fear is that I'll be so comfortable in my chariot that I'll just ignore God and say, "Lord, I like it here." But you got to listen to God. Amen. And you got to realize there comes a time to move on. Amen. I was sharing this morning at the place I was at. Used to pastor there up at Hillier Baptist Church. And I told them, I said, "I had a wonderful time here." And we did. Had a wonderful ministry there. But there come a day that it was time to move on. And you know what? If I hadn't moved on, I wouldn't be enjoying what I'm enjoying today. Oh, Amen. They wouldn't be enjoying what they're enjoying today. Listen, folks. We get comfortable in Cherith. Hello. Amen. Oh, Lord, I like it down that Roper Heights. I like the way Brother Aaron preaches. Thank you. Amen. I kind of enjoy it myself sometimes, too. I like the way Sister Sally sings. Good singers down here. I like the way everything. Yeah, we got a good church. But you know what we tend to do? I'm over here again, Heather. We say, I like it. We say, now I lay me down to sleep at Roper Heights. Lord, I pray that you will keep me. Don't want to move, God. And we begin to sing that old standby. I shall not be, I shall not be moved. Don't care if you want me over yonder, Lord. I shall not be moved. I like Johnny Williams' teaching, so I shall not be moved. Don't we do that? We like Cherith. Oh, Raven, bring me a T-bone today. I reckon I'll get up and go down there to the creek and get some water. Ain't nobody else got what we got. You know what? If one of y'all are convinced of that this morning, else you'd be somewhere else. Amen. I would be. If I thought another church better than where I was at, I'd want to be there. But we get hung up in our comfort zones. But let me get real serious with you here a minute. I like for you to laugh, and I like to get serious with you. When you stay by the brook too long, you start trusting in the brook more than you do the God of the brook. When you stay at Cherith too long, are you with me? You start trusting in the ravens more than you do the God of the ravens. I'm here to tell you this morning, sometimes God turns the water off and dries your brook up. Sometimes God stops the ravens. But it ain't to punish, but it's to move us further into where God wants us to be. Now I'm going to tell you something this morning. I love what God's doing right here at Roper Heights Baptist Church. But I ain't put it in neutral. And I ain't put it in park. As much as I love this congregation this morning, I ain't satisfied with this congregation. We got building plans for a new building. I want to see it built. When we get it built, I want to see it filled. I want another one built. I don't care if we own this whole block around here and fill it with buildings for the Lord. And I don't want to build buildings just to build buildings, but I want to see people getting saved. Amen. I say that again. I want to see people getting saved. Because if all we're doing is building buildings to have programs, we ain't doing nothing. But if we're building buildings so that we can do programs that bring folks to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, then that's what we're in it for. Some folks may say, why do you get on that radio and preach like you do to reach folks for Jesus? Well, Lord, have mercy. How many of you in here heard us on the radio? Hold your hand. Woo, Lord. That's why we do what we do. Some of you said, I got to go down there and see if that fool is crazy in person as he is on the radio. Amen. Amen. I understand. But we're doing it to get out of Cherith and to move into that place where God wants us. Sometimes God puts us in Cherith. Now listen to me. He'll put us in Cherith, but when he does, it's for a reason. Right. Oh, Elijah was on vacation. Man, he had the life of Riley. For several years, just laying back, drinking the water. Didn't even have to go hunt his own food. But why? Because God wanted to give him a reward? No. Because God was working on the other end. Amen. To set up a situation with Ahab and Jezebel and his people. And it took time for God to do that. But when God got that ready, he had the old boy on hold over there. And he said, now come on, son. Got to turn your brook off. I'm stopping the ravens. Don't want you there no more. I want you here. How many of you realize when God works in your life that he's already been working on the other end? How many of you realize when God says go witness to somebody that he's already been working on that person on the other end? Yeah, he does. God don't send you in blind. God knows what he's doing. Well, amen. Amen. Now let me very quickly look at what would happen if Elijah hadn't obeyed God. Very quickly, I believe he would have died. I really do. Vacations are nice. Are you listening to me? I'll be through in 5 more minutes. Vacations are nice. But the fulfillment of life is found in doing what you do every day for the Lord. I sometimes say the corn gets to popping so fast in my life I can't catch it all before it hits the ground. But that's the way I love it. I have found through the years that when I'm up to the battle for the Lord, to my up above my eyeballs, is when I'm really being blessed of God. Amen. Vacations are nice. It's nice to step back and say, whew, I needed that little rest. But a little rest just to prepare you to go that much harder when you re-engage. What would have happened? Others would have died if he had not have done what God wanted him to do. You'll read on over in chapter 17, verse 12. And she said, as the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake but a handful of meal in a barrel and a little oil in a cruse. And behold, I'm gathering 2 sticks that I may go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat it and die. Some folks think that this woman was just gathering up some roots so she could boil it, and then that'd be all they'd have to eat, and then they'd starve to death. It's not what was happening at all. She gathered up some poison roots and was about to kill her son and commit suicide. That's how bad the famine was. But guess what? Oh, guess what? Because God's man had got out of Cherith, he walked over to where she was at and said, oh, just wait a minute. I think God's going to provide something for you. And guess what? He did! You say, Brother Aaron, what are you talking about? I'm talking about a world that's dying and going to hell every day. And we sit in Cherith. But when we get out of Cherith and go where they're at, we'll save their lives through the blood of Jesus. Amen. Amen. If he had just stayed where he was at, Baal worship would have flourished. 1 Kings 18:21. And Elijah came unto all the people and said, how long halt you between 2 opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him. And the people answered him not a word. You know what happened? He confronted the devil. He told the people, said, make a choice right now. If God's God, follow him. If Baal is, follow him. You know what? They couldn't follow Baal because God was God. God was God then. God's God today. God will be God tomorrow. And God will be glorified. Amen. I'm going to tell you something this morning. Choose you this day whom you will serve. If God is God, follow him. If Baal is God, follow him. If the devil is God in your life, follow him. If you think the devil's in, you ain't going to have nothing with God. And don't play either way. Get in or get out. So that's hard preaching, brother. I didn't say it. The book of Revelation said, when God said, I'd rather you be hot or cold, but because you're lukewarm, I'll spit you out of my mouth. That's what God said. Hey, get on the firing line or sound retreat. Either get in or get out. If God's God, serve him. If the devil's going to be your God, then go follow him. But my Lord, folks, let's quit playing church. Amen. Folks want a form of godliness, but they deny the power thereof. I want to know something this morning. Is God real in your life? And I like what old Brother Stigger said. Ain't God all right? Yes, he is. Hallelujah. And if God is your God, follow him. Obey him. Work for him. Stand for him. But if you ain't going to have nothing to do with God, who you think you're fooling? Oh, preacher, I'm a Christian. Are you? Have you accepted Jesus as your Savior? Well, I've been baptized. Goody for you. Hell's going to be full of baptized folks. Well, preacher, I've lived a good life. Well, I tell you what, they'll probably have enough good folks down there that they can gather together and call it the Moral Society. Amen. Well, preacher, I do right every day as best I can. I don't beat my wife, or I don't beat my husband. I provide for my kids, and I live a good life. Goody. I ain't want to ask you.
Hello,
brother. Then are you saved?
Amen.
Is God your God?
Amen,
have you given your life to Him?
Hello.
Well, yeah, preacher, but I just have a hard time living for Him. I like what old Dwayne Blue said the other day in Irish Blue. How can the God of the universe, the great I Am, the one who stepped out in the middle of nothing and started to say, let there be, and it was, how can that God inhabit our lives and there not be a change in us?
Amen.
I'm going to tell you something. Are y'all with me this morning?
Amen.
I like what the old saying was. Said if it walks like a duck, if it talks like a duck, if it quacks like a duck, chances are it's a duck. And if it looks like the world, if it walks like the world, if it talks like the world, chances are it's of the world. I'm telling you, God cannot inhabit you and there not be a change. All folks look at me and they say, you're stupid, you're crazy. I know I am, and I love it that way, and pray that I'll get worse. I don't want to be like I used to be. You're going to wake up with a hangover. You're going to sell everything you got for drugs. You're going to get your marriage on the rocks. And you're going to tell me I'm crazy. I don't think so. Because I wake up every morning in my right mind. Such as it is. Amen. I don't have hangovers. I'm not hawking everything I own to chase something up my nose called white dust. Woo! And the only rock I know about ain't a crack cocaine, but it's the rock of Calvary. Woo! You gonna call me crazy just cause I get excited about God? I tell you what, I got a wife that loves me. Don't tell me God ain't real. Amen. She looks at me and she says, Ben, I ain't lying. I ain't making this up. She'll look at me and say, baby, other than the Lord, you're the best thing that ever happened to me. I say, woo! That makes two of us. Amen. I got children that love me. And you gonna call me crazy? You better wake up.
Come on,
you better get a life.
Amen.
See, because I found that life. And it ain't looking down the wrong end of a Jack Daniel's bottle. It ain't popping your Coors or your Budweisers or your Miller Lights. Hello, help me somebody. Now preach a little while here. It ain't in getting something run up your vein. Do you know where life is at? Life begins at the foot of the cross of Calvary. When you come before God and you say, God, I can't handle this anymore. I've gone just as far as I can go, Lord. And God, I'm at my rope's end. And Lord, woo, I surrender all to you, Lord. All of me I give to you. Come into my heart and into my life. And guess what? Then there's going to be a party. Woo! The Lord's going to tell all the angels in glory, woo-hoo-hoo, look at there. That one's getting right with me. Strike up the band. Put on the party hats. Get them little blowout things. Oh, you say you don't know what you're talking about, brother. I do so. My Bible says that the angels in heaven rejoice when one repents. Woo! Hallelujah. And the party begins. And I'm going to tell you something. For 20 some odd years, I've been having a party. Hey man, that's the reason I am like I am. And I can't shut up. And I don't make an apology for being like I am. I am a Christian, number one. I am saved. I am a Baptist. I just happen to be a Holy Ghost filled Baptist. Amen. Where do we get off on this junk that you got to come to church and look like you've been eating green persimmons? We must be reverent before God, preacher. You're right. God knew how I was before He saved me. And if God can take me like this, y'all just going to have to do the best you can with it. Amen. I tell you what, I like going, woo! You know why? Because I got something to go, woo, about. Bunch of Baptists getting a meeting. Some of y'all the other night didn't know what in the world you was doing. But you was having a good time doing it. Some of you last Sunday night, some of you ain't never shouted before was shouting Sunday night. You didn't want to look like you was out of place. You know, when the one on the right side of you shouting, the one on the left shouting, one in the front shouting, and the one in the back shouting, kind of makes you want to shout. But I tell you something, folks. I'm glad I know who Jesus is. And I'm glad when He moves me out of one chariot, He brings me right into another. When one door closes, another one opens. I'm glad I've been saved this morning. Are you listening to me? I know it's 12:26 and I've been trying to hush for 15 minutes and can't do it. Listen to me. God wants to save somebody this morning. You believe that? Don't pray that I'll get through quicker. Pray God to save somebody. When somebody gets saved, we'll shut up and go home. Well, amen. One of the deacons probably going to come up here and get saved again just so we can shut up and go home. Amen. But listen, folks. God wants to save somebody this morning. If God can save something like me, He can save you. And when He saves you, now I didn't say get a dose of religion. Hello? It's what's wrong with the world today. We got too much religion and not enough Jesus. I didn't say get baptized. I didn't say turn over a new leaf. I said get saved. Amen. Give all of you to all of Him. Lock, stock, and barrel. Even give Him the junk. You know what? You can go clean out your closets with Jesus. Say, here, have all this junk I ain't looked at in 10 years. God will take it. Amen. Now I want to know something this morning. I preached what God wanted me to preach. And I ain't backed up on it and I ain't apologized for it. Y'all taught me out of preaching Wednesday night. Y'all just took the service and went with it. That's all right. You didn't get it today. Listen, folks. I preached what God wanted me to preach. Now, I want to know something this morning. It's time to get down to the brass tacks. Do you know Jesus as your Savior? Do you? Can you look me in the eye right now? Everybody look me in the eye. Can you look me in the eye and say, Brother Aaron, I know. If I die right this second, I just go on to heaven. Amen. Can you look me in the eye and tell me that? If you can't, better check up. And I'm going to tell you what, a hope so don't get you there. And a think so don't get you there. And a maybe so don't get you there. The only thing that's going to get you there is a no so salvation. Do you know it? Do you know Him this morning? Well, glory, hallelujah. I done just about preached myself happy this morning. I want to know this morning as we close, do you know Jesus? Do you know Him? Would you bow your heads with me? Everywhere throughout the building, heads bowed, eyes are closed.